Light is important. I don't know if you've ever had the power go out in your house. You had to turn on candles. Or you have a flashlight handy to help guide you through the house or through your room that you're in. I don't know if this has ever happened at your house, but when the lights go out and it's very, very dark, as you make your way through a room or down steps, and you happen to notice you've stepped on something. Perhaps it's a hanger. Perhaps it's a Lego. Those are painful. Very painful. Let's give her a minute just to... We're praying for you, Willie Mae. Could you be praying for her? She's here because she'd do anything to be here. Because she misses this. I know. Because she knows the importance of this. There's some of you today here who know that as well, don't you? The importance of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Because it's easy. It's easy to get caught up in life. Kids are busy. Sports can rule the day for Sunday. Running here and there. And we think this isn't important. But that's how the early believers, that's how Christians of all time have bonded together. Community, not doing it alone. Coming together to pray together, to sing and worship together, and to read God's word together. Because there's so much in this world, the enemy being first and foremost, who all he wants to do is destroy you, deceive you, feed you the lies that you don't need this, you don't need God. But the reality is, we need him more than ever, every day, every moment of our lives. Let me read for you from the book of Hebrews. A group of believers who had suffered. It says, remember the former days when after being enlightened, when coming to know Christ, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly becoming shares with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to spur or stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. These are believers in the first century. Face suffering, sickness, persecution, publicly, privately. That they accepted joyfully the seizure of their own property. Take it. You can have it. Because they knew they had a lasting and better possession, which is Christ himself. Take it all. Just give me Jesus. And how did they get through it? How did they press on and endure? Well, they didn't do it alone. They're even calling people back and saying, don't forsake meeting. Yeah, things are bad. But don't give up. Don't throw in the white flag. Don't think, I'm all alone out here. Nobody cares. There are people who care. And love you. And want to be there for you. To walk beside you. And if need be, carry you out of a room. But that can't happen if we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If I choose or you choose to intentionally exclude yourself, because maybe you're scared of what people will think about you. In fact, the call here the author of Hebrews gives us is to hold fast, to endure, to not give up. To when you get discouraged, let it drive you to your knees, let it drive you to a phone to call somebody. Without wavering. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God is so faithful. He always will come through. Always. To walk beside you, to bring people alongside you in your life who will hold you up and uplift you. Second Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful and will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. You know, John talks a lot about in his gospel That the world is a place of darkness, of evil, of anger, of hatred, where Satan has limited power and authority. And that's his view of the world, where there is hostility against followers of Christ. That it's never going to be easy. But there is such strength and hope and power in the name of Jesus. But running can get tiring. You ever run a race? Or if you've ever felt like you run a race, you've run a race, been in a boxing match. Because the darkness is out there. The darkness is in here. It's in us. And it's only the light of Christ, his life and hope that he brings, that help us press on and endure. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin, the darkness that so easily entangles us, and let us run with what? Endurance. The race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame of it, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a beautiful picture of the community of faith that has gone before us and that lives with us. A stadium. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have by faith believed and endured by the power and strength of God, and who stand in the stadium and cheer us on and say, you can do it. Hold on to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. He's it. He's the reason. He will help you through whatever you're going through. He will help your marriage. He will help your work situation. He will help you with school. And everywhere else in between, fix your eyes. Don't turn your gaze. Grab hold of him. Because he always will be there. As dark as it gets, to where you can't see with your own physical eyes, he is that living hope that we hold on to, that we don't let go of. But that takes help. Not only from Christ, but from the community of faith. Where are we looking, church? Who are we looking at? Who have we fixed our eyes on? Are we looking at the world and what it tells us? Are we looking at the light of the world? The author and perfecter of our faith, who understands what it means to endure. Because he stared death right in the eyes. He took the enemy's best shot and shed his blood and rose again so that we could never be alone. We can have fans cheering us on as here we are living this life that they once lived, seeking to follow Christ. But our human tendency is to go crawl in a hole and shut out God and the world and everybody else. And God says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest like you've never experienced, peace like you'll never know outside of me. Come to me. And that's why we are here. We are not perfect people, but we are forgiven people. who you know what it's like to get beat up by the world, to get beat up by people in the church, and to know that you're forgiven and free because of the blood of Christ. As you think about your life, you had someone, maybe it's more than one person, who at your time of deepest need has been there to pick you up, to pray for you, to never let you go. On a massive scale, that's what the church needs to be. Because we're never meant to walk this life alone. We need to fix our eyes on Christ. We need to throw aside the sin and darkness which can so easily entangle us. Because, man, we can get caught up in it. And when you're running a race, you want to take off anything. You don't want a lot of weight, extra clothing. I used to know some teens who swam, and before big meets, they would shave their hair, shave their bodies, because they wanted nothing to stop them from swimming their best time. Like super glue, sometimes, though, we let sin stick to us. We get caught up in the routines of the world. And we're not running the race. We're trudging through it because we just have all this stuff. I've got to be here. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And it's like, do you? It really speaks at times to our priorities. Where are your priorities at today? I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me. This time with Christ, individually and collectively, the most important thing in your week. Next to your family, your wife, spouse, kids. That's the sin that can so easily entangle us. And it can wear us down. Which is why we need the endurance of Christ, to look to him, to fix our eyes upon him. One of the things that's amazing in the book of John is just Jesus, his resolve. It's not the religious leaders, it's the crowds who are struggling and wrestling with who he really is. And he never gets frustrated. He never throws up his hands or throws in their white flag and says, I'm done. He says, no, I know what God has called me to. I know where it's going to take me. And he endures. He presses on. In spite of it all, the resistance he faces, the conspiracy that continues to build by the darkness to quiet him, to kill him. But the tomb could not hold him. What have you given up on your life today? Is there something you're just tired of fighting? Tired of wrestling with in your life? That you've thrown in the towel? You've given up? The hope and endurance that Christ can bring to help you press on. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a relationship in your life. You're just thrown in the towel. Let us hold fast. the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let's not give up. Maybe our posture needs to change. Maybe we need to get down on our knees and cry out a little harder. Maybe there needs to be tear stains in the floor of your home. Maybe the rug needs to get a little more worn by your bed. Because you're digging in. You're praying. You're not giving up. You're going to keep pressing on. No matter what. And you're going to fix your eyes on Jesus. You're going to fix your eyes on a brother or sister here. And you're going to grab onto them and say, don't let go of me. Help me. Because I know where I'm headed. If I don't have someone right here with me, holding on to me. What is it for you today? You see it happen in our nation. The darkness reigns, perception-wise. You see all these stories. John chapter 1, light has come into the world and the darkness could not overcome it. Not going to happen. Have you let the darkness overcome your life? To where you struggle with defeat and guilt and shame? Instead, letting the light of hope and love of Christ break through and show you what true forgiveness and healing is. Maybe it's time we just lay our pride down. Huh? That's what happened to this man in John chapter 9, and we're not going to walk through it. But he came face to face with Jesus, who healed him physically, and then did the more important healing, healed him spiritually. Physically, he couldn't see, and Jesus told him to go and wash in a pool, and he went and washed, and he came out seeing, blind from birth. Washes, I can see. You know, Jesus still physically heals people. God hasn't changed. That's why we still pray for physical healing. But the greater healing we need is spiritual. It's our hearts, because we are spiritually blind and we need his light to shine in our darkness. And this man comes to a point at the end of chapter 9 where he's standing before Jesus. And Jesus says to him, do you believe in the Son of Man, which is another name for Jesus? He says, I do. Who is he? This is, he is talking to you and standing right before you. And he says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Not only had he had his physical sight reversed where he could see, he had his spiritual sight opened. Where do you need the endurance of Christ today? In your life? What is the sin situation in your life that is entangling you? That is dragging you down? Maybe it's time to get on your knees. Maybe it's time to ask God to break your pride, thinking nothing's wrong. Maybe it's time to reach out to somebody and say, Help me. Help me walk this life. Let's do it together. One hand with Christ, one hand with another. I'm going to have the band come up. And I'm wondering if we could sing Always Again. There's just such powerful truth in that song. We do have foes that surround us. There's chaos, not only in our nation, but in our lives. But where does your help come from today, folks? Where does it come from? If you want to find a book or a politician, good luck. If you want to find a friend or family member, I think that's great. Where does your help come from? The Psalms say, my help comes from the Lord. The Lord, the maker, the creator, God in the flesh. We need to fix our eyes on him today, friends. As we sing this song, if you need to come up and pray, this carpet is still pretty new up here. The Iwana kids haven't destroyed it too much yet. It's not wet. But do you believe God is always there for you? Why don't we come up and work out the carpet a little bit and cry out.